On Sunday mornings, we regularly hear Jesus tell parables. Jesus tells these parables to teach about God and about God's kingdom. But I have to be honest, I don't know about you, but sometimes those parables are not exactly clear. Their meaning can be somewhat obscure, and they can leave us wondering, what is Jesus telling us? Now, it's not surprising, I think, given that Jesus tells these parables to people in first century Palestine, people who are far removed from us by time and by their culture. Today's gospel, however, may be an exception. It is one story, I suspect, that we can all understand and relate to in some way. It is the story of a father and two sons. There are interesting family dynamics. One son behaves badly, and the other son resents his brother for his behavior. And there is the father left in the middle negotiating this. And perhaps surprisingly, the father decides to practice mercy and forgiveness. Over the years, I have had conversations with various people about this parable and hear them talk about how they identify with it in some way or identify perhaps with one of the characters in this story. I think it's easy for us to find some connection into this story and certainly to have a reaction to it. During the week, as I was preparing this sermon, I read several blog posts and various sermons written on this passage. And most of those authors delved into the dynamics of the behavior between the father and the two sons. And most of the authors reflected on their own personal experiences. And that is fine. I think it's a very good thing when we can connect and resonate with a parable like this. But at the same time, I think there may be a need for some caution. Jesus is not telling this parable in order to examine a family's behavior and relationships. He's not offering a study of family dynamics. And so, by looking at where in the Gospel according to Luke this story falls, we might understand how it relates to the parables around it and gain some important insight into what Jesus is teaching us today. The past two Sundays, we have heard passages from Luke calling the sinner to repent. We've been reminded of our Lenten discipline of turning, of practicing that Greek word metanoia, literally turning to a new direction or putting on a new mindset. Today we change course. Today's gospel is from a section of Luke that illustrates God's response when a sinner repents and returns. You may have noticed at the beginning of our passage today, the Pharisees and the scribes are criticizing Jesus because he welcomes and then dares to eat with known sinners. And Jesus is responding to those leaders by saying that he cannot help but welcome the lost and the outcast, for it is God's nature to do so. It is the reality of God's love to seek out and to welcome the forgotten and the excluded. This is simply who Jesus is. Back at the beginning of Luke's gospel in the fourth chapter, in a passage we heard in the season after the Epiphany, Jesus began his public ministry, and Luke tells us he is full of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus goes to the synagogue in Nazareth, to his hometown, and tells them, after reading from the prophet Isaiah, that he has come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to bring good news to the poor, release to the captive, freedom to those who are oppressed. The passage we hear today is one of three parables in this 15th chapter of Luke, but we only hear the third, the prodigal son. So let me just describe briefly those first two. The first is the parable of the lost sheep. You may remember this story. There are 100 sheep, one is lost, and the shepherd does the audacious act of leaving the 99, all unattended, uncared for, to search for that one lost. And the parable concludes that it is teaching us how God searches for the lost. The second parable is that of the lost coin. A widow has 10 silver coins and loses one. So she lights a lamp, she sweeps her house, she tears the house apart until she finds it. And when she does, she invites her friends to come and join in her rejoicing. And the story ends telling us, "Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The parable of the prodigal son is the last of these three parables, and it is perhaps the most human of them, and maybe the one we can best relate to. And it is the conclusion of Jesus' teaching about God's love and mercy. And Jesus intends it to show us how God reacts when a sinner repents and returns. In this parable, there is a father who has two sons, and the younger son wants to leave his family and set out on his own. So he asks his father for his inheritance before the father has died. I don't know about you, but this seems awfully audacious a thing to do. And certainly in Jesus' day, this would have been deeply offensive behavior. This is not acceptable for a son to do. The son is turning his back on his family, something that his culture does not allow. And he's also asking for his inheritance, which is a gross insult to his father who is still alive. Presumably, the son sells the land that was his birthright and uses the cash to do what Luke says is a dissolute way of life. In the time of Jesus, most people were farmers. The land was essential for a family's economic well-being. Selling it could jeopardize a family's security. Additionally, the land is understood as a gift from God, given to God's people. Selling it would betray God's generosity to the people. And so the father, according to the practices of his own time, should have been tremendously insulted by the younger son's behavior. But he doesn't appear to be. He grants the son's request. And while the son is away, it appears the father longs for his son, watches and waits for his son's return. While the younger son is away in a foreign land, he spends all the money that he had, and there is a famine. And the son finds himself in need, so he gets a job working as a swineherd. Those listening in Jesus' day would have understood that the son's fall, his downfall, is complete. He squandered his inheritance, he's working for a Gentile, and he's tending animals that are considered unclean. In this process, the son realizes that his father's hired hands are better off than he is. And so Luke tells us that he comes to himself, a phrase which I think is very descriptive, and that coming to himself is he realizes he is lost. So he sets out for home, rehearsing a speech of repentance that he wants to deliver to his father. But before he can arrive home, before he can utter his speech, his father, who is watching, sees him approaching and runs to meet him. Now, his father, in running, is doing something he shouldn't do. The patriarch of a first century Jewish family would not run to meet his son. This is not considered appropriate behavior. But it doesn't matter. The father, I think, is just so consumed with excitement and joy, he casts off convention, and he runs to meet his son. There are actually several ways in which the father does not act as his time and culture require. While appropriate to welcome his son at his return, it was also clear that the father was expected to punish his son. But the father doesn't do that. He celebrates the return of his son by kissing him, by clothing him in the best robe, sandals, and a ring, and he throws a banquet. The father is rejoicing and celebrating, not looking for justice or punishment or restitution. He does not act as a father who has been humiliated and shamed by his son. In telling this parable, Jesus offers the story of a son who is selfish and insults his father, one who passes his time in self-indulgent behavior and squanders his family's resources. The son turns his back on his religious practice and tradition. He is the kind of son a father would be ashamed of. But the father does not act as a human father might. Certainly not as a father of his time was expected to act. He isn't insulted by his son. He does not seek what the world says he is owed. Instead, he welcomes his son home without question and with extravagant rejoicing and abundance. At the heart of this parable that Jesus is telling is an extravagant grace, perhaps even a scandalous grace, a grace that defies earthly conventions and rules. It is a love that surprises us, that is very different from what we see in the world around us. This is a grace that wells up into a joy that is so great it is expressed in abundance. Jesus is teaching that when a sinner repents and returns, God rejoices with a deep and abundant joy. God welcomes the sinner home to the feast of rejoicing and abundant food. And before that sinner returns, God is waiting. God is watching. God is hoping for the return of the one who is lost. And upon seeing them come back, runs to greet them with a kiss. God searches for the lost like that shepherd searching for the one lost sheep, or like the woman who loses the silver coin. God runs out to meet us when we come home in the person of Jesus, who comes into human existence in order to find the lost, to call them, to lead them home. Jesus comes seeking all God's children and desires to lead everyone to God's abundant banquet. This extravagant love and grace of God is certainly good news for us, for we are all sinners. But at the same time, it may be difficult to accept and embrace, especially when we think someone has committed a great sinful atrocity, an evil deed, and our common sense tells us there should be punishment, there should be justice. It might get us into thinking a little that we are somehow more righteous than others, and maybe even feeling that we hope the guilty gets what they deserve. The older son in today's parable experiences some of this. He is the son, he says, who remains at home. He faithfully does what his father asks. He toils, yet he doesn't feel that the father has appreciated or rewarded him. He resents the reception his father gives the irresponsible younger brother. And so he stays outside the feast in his anger and does not go in when his father wants him to go and celebrate with the brother who has returned. Interestingly, the parable never tells us if the older son lets go of his anger and resentment, if he comes to join the banquet and celebrate with his father and younger brother. One commentary suggests that Jesus intentionally leaves us with a question. The question initially is, will the Pharisees and scribes join Jesus in welcoming and eating with sinners? But then went on to say that perhaps that's a question also for us. Will we join Jesus in welcoming the least and the forgotten? This is a parable that teaches us much about God. And we can see what Jesus is telling us in the actions of the Father. The Father does not act from any sense of hurt or of earthly justice, but forgives his younger son and welcomes him with an extravagant feast. The Father pleads with the older son to forgive his brother, to let go of his anger, and asks him to trust that his father loves him and appreciates him, and invites him to enter the banquet hall to celebrate with them. In Jesus, God comes to seek us out. God waits for our return and rejoices greatly when we turn back to God. This is the good news of our Lenten journey and, I think, of our lives. God calls us to conversion of heart and will, to turn back to God. And all the while, God stands waiting, ready to welcome us with mercy and compassion, with great love and even great rejoicing. Jesus reminds us this day that all are invited to enter the banquet, where there is much feasting and great rejoicing over the lost one who now is found. Amen.